You're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. It's 26 July. Welcome to the show, everyone.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to the show. Yeah, it's live to hard drive from historic Ford Island here in Honolulu, Hawaii. Welcome to the show, everyone. And for our long-term listeners, thank you. Thank you so much for staying subscribed and downloading the shows. Hey, and for those of you that have been talking about the show to your friends, hey, we really appreciate it. We know the numbers are way up, and it does my heart good to see more and more people tune into the show. And the amount of listener email that I get has just been fantastic. It's to the point of saturation, actually, but I guess that's a good thing. And if you are checking out the show for the very first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. And check out the content on the website. Of course, all the archives, all the podcast archives. And along with that, make sure you sign up for our mailing list so that you can get immediate information about the new shows, so that you'll get all the links to the show notes. And you can participate in the mailing list. Of course, you guys don't talk too much on the mailing list, but that's okay. But anyway, I hope everyone had a great day back to work. And I know that it was a typical Monday for me, but I had a pretty non-eventful weekend. It was very, very nice here in Honolulu, as usual. Of course, it's a summer, you know, it is nice. And but I spent the entire weekend basically working on a term paper. So, you know, going back to school at my age, I think I've said this before, is no fun, but you got to do what you got to do, don't you? And, hey, got a lot of content for you tonight. And, you noticed that I played a new intro tonight. Well, nah, I'm not going to declare a winner yet because you guys have been sending in a variety of votes for the different promos that we played or the intros that we played on, the last show. And, wow, great response. Good ideas from everyone. And I think what's going to end up happening is we're probably going to give every person to produce an intro for us, a little airtime to talk about their service, that they have a service, just because I can. And I appreciate all the submissions. I really do. And I feel bad because I missed one. Yeah, I really do feel bad that I missed one. And I've got it queued up. It's sitting here on the computer screen, and I'll play it a little later for you. But I want to apologize to the individual that created that for not playing it in the normal rotation on the last show. I do feel pretty bad about it. It was, you know, I laugh about it now, but it wasn't funny when I got your email. Hey, on Friday, I was on Computer America, and it was with Craig Crossman, and it was pretty late Eastern Standard Time, I guess 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it was pretty interesting experience. I had Craig in one chat room. I had his production editor or production person in another, and then the entire his show, everyone that was on his show that were in another window. Of course, Craig was talking to me live on the telephone. And you know why I really love podcasting? Because it seemed like every time that Craig and I got to talking, we had to go to a commercial. And that was just, oh, it was so frustrating to me. It really was. But I want to thank Craig for having me on the show, and I know a lot of his listeners are tuned in to the podcast, so I appreciate that. And lots of great email from that. So overall, it was good. So thanks for the opportunity. Anyway, all right, what have I got in my list of administrative notes? I want to go over real quick. Hey, we've got 5 days left voting at podcastawards.com, so make sure you get over there and vote for your favorite shows. The competition on some of the categories are within percentage points of each other, 1 or 2 percentage points. So it's anybody's game in the majority of the categories. Also, for those of you that sent me email wanting to become involved in the Podcaster News Network, that mailing list is open. I have added everyone that I could find in my email. If you got missed or you still want to be involved, make sure you send me an email to geeknews@gmail.com right away so I can get you added. We're going to kick up the conversation in here over the next couple of days so that we can get some ideas. And we're pushing forward towards that launch. Been playing around actually with the first kind of pre-production release of the actual web page. And I'm really happy with what I'm seeing so far. So pretty exciting stuff. Okay, what else have I got? I guess that's all I got on my basic list. I did get some listener email that I want to go through. I got a message from Mayo. He's getting ready to do a physician's podcast. And he wants to know what the difference between a podcast aggregator, or basically a podcatcher, and a news aggregator is. Well, Miles, pretty simple. In my book, I talk about Doppler, iPodder Lemon, JPodder, a variety of different podcast catching applications that are specifically used to grab podcast applications, podcasts, download them to your computer and put them on your media device. And of course, with iTunes version 4.9, that's also available via that application. But the difference is in the news, most of the news aggregators out there don't have the ability to download podcasts from within the applications. The ones that I talk about, FeedDemon, do. And you are able to actually serve two purposes with one application, be able to read articles that are on websites, along with being able to download podcasts. Now, if you're just looking to put an application on your website so that people that are physicians that come to your site that want to listen to your show, where you want to give them an easy way to do it, go over to iPod or Lemon. They have, you can go to their store there, and you can actually buy a branded podcatcher, iPodder podcatcher, that will allow you to put your feed in there so that, and it'll build it up an executable installable file so that when you put that on your website and people come in and download that, that it will have your show preloaded on the application. So you can do that with the iPodder Lemon. I hope that explains. If it doesn't, send me another email. I'll probably send you a comment that it was on this show so that you can check that out. I want to thank Andrew for making me aware of a situation with those of you that are using JPodder. You may have noticed, and I hope that it's only Andrew's machine, but apparently my file names are being renamed. So what you should be seeing on your hard drive is starts out GNC-2005 and then whatever the date may be for the show. He is not seeing that. He is seeing a total rename using JPodder. So if any of you anyone else is seeing that going on with JPodder, let me know right away, okay? Because it could be because we put all the iTunes tags in. There may be something that's getting broke with JPodder. I'm actually going to email those folks and see if they can figure out what has happened there. But very bizarre to say the least. The ID3 tags don't look like they're getting messed up, but only the MP3 file name, which should not get changed. Okay, I also got a email from Derek. Derek was at Nomdex, and unfortunately, I didn't get to meet Derek. And he is a professional musician, and he's talking about working with me to maybe do some background music for the show. I think that would be kind of cool, and if we can get together and do something, it would be something awesome to introduce on 100th episode. So. Let's get together. I'll drop an email also, and we'll talk about it. Okay, I got a message from Bill, and Bill gave me some pointers. Basically, he told me that in the spring, it does look like that they are going to have dual processor laptops that are going to be available with this dual core chips that I talked about. So he says they're in the pipeline for early next year. He pointed me at some public websites, and I'll probably put some of those links up, which is pretty cool, and gave me some information. It was real interesting. So, Bill, thank you for putting that, sending me that email, okay? Additionally, George, hey, my friend, you and I are kind of in the same boat, having suffered a pretty good spine injury, but it looks to me like looks like you got it a little harder than I did. But I want to thank you for the very long note that you sent me with all the links to the great resources and talk to me about your recovery time. And totally amazing. And, you know, I my injury pales in comparison to what you suffered. But it looks like you're doing very well. And but again, thanks for all the great links. And if anyone else out there has back problems or have had a spinal injury, hey, let me know. I've got George put together some pretty good links for some resources out there that might be able to, actually, I'll ask for George's permission to forward those to anyone that's interested. Okay? Now, talking about saving some money here, get your name on the net and save 10% along the way. Shop at GoDaddy.com and get a new domain name, transfer, or renewal for just $3.99 with each and every new non-domain product you buy. Choose from hosting, website builders, email accounts, and much more. Plus, take an additional 10% off any order simply by entering TODD2, that's T-O-D-D-2, as your source code. So visit GoDaddy.com, grab your domain, and save big. Okay, folks? Thanks for GoDaddy for being a sponsor. Okay, got lots of content tonight, and actually, we're doing pretty good on time so far. And let me look through my little stack here. Do I have anything else left? And, you know, I had kind of a rough start tonight, changing up the format a little bit in the beginning. I don't know what happened to me. I was, it's like I couldn't talk for a little bit, but looks like we've got a good start this time around. Hey, I'm going to play something for you. And this came to me today, just this evening, by one of our very observant listeners. And this sound is going to freak you guys out, okay? If you're in a dark room, I'm going to advise you that this is spooky, okay? Now, we all know that Cassini has been going, heading out, is just out there by Saturn doing its thing. And it's been recording intense radio emissions from the planet. Now, it's been recording those and sending those home. Okay, I'm going to turn this recording on. It's 73 seconds, but I think it's worth the listen, okay? And I may interject in between, but if this doesn't make the hair stand up on the back of your neck, nothing will. So check this out. Was that weird or was that weird? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put that in a loop and come Halloween, I'm going to be playing that out in front of my yard. What do you think? Think the kids will love that? I bet you I don't get one trick-or-treater. I really bet I don't. That is spooky. It just doesn't that sound, isn't that amazing what a little tweaking of a radio transmission or of a, you know, that's coming from a planet. Holy cow. Okay, let's get into some regular stuff. I know that I did that there for fun, and you guys are probably all like, what in the world? But anyway, hey, today Dave Weiner released his OPML editor, and I've been playing around with it a little bit over the last couple of weeks, and someone sent me an email asking me what OPML is, and I think the best thing you can do is go out and download this editor from Dave, and check it out, play it around, play around with it, and you'll get an idea real quick what is capable, the capabilities of the Outline Processor Markup Language. I guess that's the actual official term for it. And did I say that right? Yeah, I believe I did. Yeah, Outline Processor Markup Language. But anyway, check out Dave's application. And I think you'll really, once you get to playing around with it and do some considerations of its capabilities and what is going to be possible there, I think you'll be real pleased that you did. Now, what I'm going to do, those of you that get set up with the editor, drop me email. And then what I'm going to try to do is we're going to make a kind of like a show deal. We're going to do it so that everyone that listens to the show that wants to participate, you guys can actually, if you want to submit articles to me or something like that, we're going to kind of have like an open project going on where people can contribute content to the site. I haven't quite figured out how to do it yet. But once you guys get set up, I'll get it figured out here in the next couple of days and we'll move forward with it. Okay, now, what do I have? I've got a stack of stuff here. Okay, hey, I found a cool little site. It's called LoGoogle. It's LoGoogle. I don't know how long, I don't know if Google's going to get upset or not, but it's a Google logo maker. And it's a cool little tool. I put in here, I typed in Geek News and hit make. And it makes me a logo that looks just like Google's logo. Actually, kind of, it looks like it's on Google's site. So we'll see how long this one lasts. But logogle.com, and I'll have it in the show notes, of course. Now, I got sent an email this morning that I was being quoted, and not quoted, but my site was being referenced in a Newsweek article, August 1st edition of Newsweek. I thought, oh, that was pretty cool. I didn't really know what was the article was about, but I went over there and checked it out. And this Newsweek article is basically talks about adult material in podcasting and how the adult audio programming is, starting to rise to the top. You know, a lot of people are looking for that type of content. But it talked about how my show, and it specifically said Geek News Central and another show, I think it said Knitcast, how we've been out here for a while, and then all of a sudden now these other shows. And I don't know, that was quite the, you have to read it. Let's see if I can see what it actually says so I can read it to you. Okay, here's what it says. Podcasting, that baby medium, is suddenly home to a lot of adult content. Introduced to a mainstream audience just last month, the technology radio locked programming for your iPod that once was a chaste province of Geek News Central and Knitcast is now redding the faces those that sport those trademark white earbuds. Well, it's basically kind of making a comparison. You know, here we've got a show that is full of child-safe content, and then you've got, on the other extreme, content that is, out there that's definitely not kid-safe. So it's really kind of a short article about this divergence. And, you know, it really hasn't. I think, you know, this is just another one of those podcasting articles where, you know, they're trying to get on board and get something out there and make a little spin. But, you know, there's been provocative content on podcasts for a while. So I don't know, you know, I don't really know why they're talking about it now. I guess it's just because it's mainstream and people, well, not necessarily mainstream, but, you know, with the iTunes release, people are becoming more aware of it. But I thought it was pretty comical, but it's nice to be compared to Knitcast because, you know, it definitely shows we're a kid safe show. So, okay. How many of you are buying a home, have bought a home, or have been in a home for a few years and have been watching your equity increase? Well, Dan Gilmore has been talking about a lot on his website and how existing home sales set records in June, where the new median price in existing homes in the United States is $219,000. If I could only wish $219,000 here in Hawaii. I think the median price now is $610,000 or something like that for a home here in Hawaii. But prices are up, so he's predicting a burst of this bubble here at some point. So I think I'm going to sit on the fence a little longer before we do something different. But we'll see. I thought that was a curious thing. I've been watching house prices here. So was an article that interests me. Sorry, it wasn't about tech. Okay, on the tech side, there's a Macworld is citing a research report that says Mac is making huge inroads in big companies. The Jupiter report found that in businesses with 250 employees or more, 17% of the employees were running Mac OS X on their desktop. I don't think so. I really doubt this number. I know that these guys, those of you that are Mac users are probably saying it's true, but I just don't see that. I travel to a lot of companies, and predominantly I'm seeing Windows-based machines on the desk. I very rarely see a Mac, and if I do, it's usually someone's personal machine. So I'm curious, what are you guys seeing out there in the businesses that you work at? How's the mix? Is it you're starting to see more Macs in the workplace? Are your employers actually letting you have Macs? That's the question. Dan Gilmore, and this is another article from Dan, he says he doesn't believe this even for a microsecond. Do you? So I guess that's the question I want to ask you, ask to all of you. Now, on the Mac subject, there's a site that's called taleofmac.com. And this is some of the first dissension I've actually seen by hardcore Mac users talking about application error issues. And I know that I have been playing around with my Mini and playing specifically with Safari. And I'll be honest with you, Safari is so picky on websites. If a website isn't perfect, it just does not load. There's websites I go to, it will not load. I've never got an application error. But as he is saying that he is starting to see more and more application failures, syntax errors, all kinds of stuff. So I'm kind of curious, are you guys starting to see that? Are any of you other diehard Mac users seeing an increase in errors on your applications? And he talks about some other applications that he's seeing kernel crashes in. So this is one of the very few articles I've ever seen on applications doing weird stuff. But a good article. I want you guys to check it out, especially the Mac users. Let me know if this has any validity to it. You guys remember me talking about Confabulator last year and how they were so upset with some things that Apple was going to do with OS X that was going to basically make their application, their dashboard application, obsolete? Well, Yahoo has acquired that application and released it for free. And I think this is a poetic justice. I think it's a good move on Yahoo's part for doing this. It's good news for Mac users in that everyone's going to be able to download it. You don't have to pay for it anymore. And hopefully people will help support it and build some more widgets for it. And so at Yahoo makes two widgets for the Apple dashboard, and I'll have those links up to both the announcement on that and, of course, to the widgets link on Yahoo. So those of you that are Confabulator fans or have never used the product and you're a Mac user, you can check it out now for free. And I believe it works not only on OS X, but the older applications as well. Now, we've all heard on Friday, I think I announced it on Thursday, that Microsoft was going to name the new official release, which was initially designated as Longhorn. And now it's going to be called Vista. So what do you guys think about that name? Mixed reaction around the net. I guess it'll grow on me over time, but Windows Vista, obviously for the next release of Microsoft's operating system. Along with that, over the weekend, Microsoft released Virtual Earth, and it's virtualearth.com or virtualearth.msn.com. It's just like Google Maps, essentially. I don't really see much of a difference to it. They do have an API available, so people can tap the API so they can make applications for it. And there was a little bit of a conspiracy going around on the net today that when you did a looked up the address of Apple, it was nothing but a big bare field. And there was some conspiracy that maybe there was a little bit of a programming monkey business going on. But I actually did a search for where I grew up originally in Michigan. And what I found was that I know that the image data that they have on this thing is really, really old, because there's a property to the north of where I used to live that has been there for a number of years, at least 5 years, and it is no longer, I mean, it's not on this image database. So, and I got some emails back from a comment I made on the weblog too, where people said, yeah, I've looked at it and it's definitely very old data. So I don't think it was a conspiracy on Microsoft's part, but I think it was just bad image data, old image data. So they need to get on top of that. They're going to release something like this. The least they could have done is spent some of those billions of dollars they have and went out, updated the image database. It's ridiculous. Okay, for those of you that are into ebooks, two novels have been released, and they are short stories by Peter Watts, and one's called Starfish, and the other is Malstorm. And it's pretty cool that this author has released these books, and I'm definitely going to read them and see what they're like. Any author that's willing to do that, I'm going to go ahead and make sure that that I read them. And actually, it's in PDF format. It's not an ebook. Is it ebook format? Yeah, it is. I'll have to download them. I haven't downloaded them yet, but released under a Creative Commons license. Okay, what else do I have? Oh, there, I got that link to that. I already talked about that. Let's see here. NASA, if everything goes well, by the time most of you get this show, the space shuttle will be in the air, be in space. They're going to launch tomorrow morning. They're definitely crossing their fingers. They could not really duplicate the issue that they had. So they've changed some wires around. Common practice used in aviation where you have a redundant systems. You just wire the redundant system up with the wires from, you know, you do a little crosswire swapping, and if the error shows up, you definitely know that you've got a bad system, or if it stays where it's at, you know you've got a bad sensor. So they're going to know pretty quick what's going on, and depending on the results of, you know, if they get that error again, depending on what the results are, will depend on whether or not the shuttle lights the fires and kicks the tires and gets headed out toward the International Space Station. And Godspeed to the crew. Let's hope that they get off the ground today. Okay. Also, those of you that may not have a licensed copy of Windows on your machine, Microsoft has announced that the piracy check is mandatory for all Windows add-ons and security. Actually, you can get security updates without having a valid Windows application. But anything else, you're going to have a valid operating system on your computer. Basically, they're going to be checking all of those registration numbers, etc. And it's all going to be transparent. You don't actually have to enter the number anymore. Okay, how many of you using Windows XP have ever had problems with your registry and it's become corrupted? Here's a little trick, and I was reminded about this today over on Extreme Tech. If you get into a problem where your computer won't boot, and or it's causing you errors when it's, you know, when it is loading, as long as you have been left a Windows Restore on, you're probably going to be in luck, because you can use during the boot sequence, you can hold the F8 key, and then what it's going to do is it'll give you a menu system that'll come up versus booting. And what you will be able to do is pick the selection last good registry and try to reboot and see what happens. It's it doesn't work all the time, but sometimes it does, and it'll allow you to get into safe mode, or actually allow you to boot up correctly. Now, not to say that all your applications are going to work, especially new installed applications. Some of them may not when you have to go that route into booting Windows XP. I found a pretty disgusting article over on Gizmodo, and it's a picture of a guy's keyboard, and he's asking, you know, he's been using this keyboard for 2 or 3 years, but it looks like he's never took a rag to it and cleaned it off. He says his keyboard smells. And I'm going to let you guys be the judge here and go over to Gizmodo and look at this keyboard. And this is horrendous. I got a suggestion for Matt. Matt, take that keyboard, unplug it from your computer, go outside to your trash can and throw it in the trash can. Proceed to get in your car and drive to the store and buy a new keyboard. It's broke. It doesn't have a space bar. This thing is horrendous. You know, keyboards, you can get a cheap keyboard for like $10. No way would I put my hands on this thing. Looks like the BBC is getting ready to do something real cool. They're getting ready to release a DVR called Promise that can record and store an entire month's worth of programming from all of the UK broadcast TV networks. If those of you that aren't familiar, the BBC has five broadcast channels that they basically open air broadcast, like most of you have local stations that open air broadcast here in the States. But they're going to release looks like an application. It's actually going to be able to be used with PC components. That's going to allow you to record everything. It tapes everything on all stations for an entire month, so you can go back and to watch programming that you may have missed. I think that'd be cool if I could do all my cable stations here. Of course, you know, I got 70 channels of nothing. But every once in a while, there's something I like to go back and see, especially if I miss a series of programs or something like that. Pretty cool on BBC for doing this. I'm going to be real curious to see what the actual hardware looks like, how much it costs to be able to record a whole month's worth of programming. But good on them. Okay, we all don't like spammers, but I don't think we would really wish ill will on them. I know sometimes I get angry with some of the spam that I see coming in my inbox, but apparently a well-known spammer in Russia has been murdered, and there's a little bit of a conspiracy theory going around what happened to him, but apparently he upset a Russian deputy communications minister. I don't know. I think if I was in Russia and if I was a spammer or a hacker, I don't think I'd want to upset any public official. Knowing the history on some of the things that went on in Russia, I just don't think I would be so bold to upset somebody like that. But he was found murdered. So, terrible. Okay, go on to the next article. All right, there is a little more news on the space shuttle today, and it talks about how the space shuttle is basically like an old truck. And it has all of these old parts in it. And, you know, I kind of, the space shuttle, I work on old airplanes from time to time. And, you know, they take a lot of TLC, a lot of care, you know, to be able to keep them in tip-top shape and safe for flying. And New York Times basically goes into talking about all the stuff that they found on the different space shuttles that have raised some eyebrows. But, you know, when you look at the space shuttle was designed in the 70s. And, you know, how many of you have got stuff in your homes that's still running from the 70s? Think about that. You know, very few have actually probably even have a car that's running from the 70s. Now, obviously, the space shuttle has a high amount of stress for a short time when it's launched. And, of course, a high amount of stress during re-entry. But overall, of course, it's a very complex machine. But, and you know, it's what's amazing about that too is there's a lot of computers that are still running in the space shuttle that are running on 8086 microprocessors. So I'm going to be curious to see what's going to happen when they do the new prototype for the replacement space shuttle and some of the technology that they're going to use in that. And they mentioned in here that a lot of times newer technology is not as good because it just can't stand up to the rigors of space and high vibrations, etc. And so for those of you that are geeks that like reading a little bit about the interactions of what's going on with the space shuttle, this is a good article from the New York Times to check out. Okay, I found an article by the Electronic Frontier Foundation. It's called, Is Your Printer Spying on You? And I've heard about this before. And I didn't know if it was true or not, but unfortunately, here's the scenario. Imagine that every time you printed a document, it automatically included a secret code that could be used to help identify the printer and potentially the person who used it. It sounds like something kind of hokey, right? Like one of those conspiracy theories. But unfortunately, the scenario isn't fictional. And what it's done is it's an effort to identify counterfeiters that the U.S. government has succeeded in persuading some color laser printer manufacturers to encode each page with identifying information. So don't make any counterfeit money, number one. But number two, this opens up a question on privacy. You know, you go ahead and print something on your printer, you send it to someone anonymously, and they want to find out who it is. Potentially, there's some room there for them to be able to do that. Now, I don't know why you'd want to do that, except if it was, you know, trying to hide your identity. But this is a curious report from the FF, so I'll let you guys read it, make your own conclusions on it. Google has released a blog that's called Inside AdWords. So those of you that do AdWord ads, they've got a blog up now, and they're going to be posting to it on a regular basis. Looks like they're going to be talking about tricks, tips, etc. And it actually has got a lot of information on it. They've had it up for a while, actually since the 11th, but this is the first I've become aware of it. But some instructions and some ideas about where they're heading, some questions. So pretty cool. Pretty cool little article on AdWords for those of you that use the application. I found an article over on Wi-Fi Net News that talks about a Linksys travel router. So those of you that are on the road a lot, and it's a Wi-Fi travel router. So it's about $100, pretty small. It's a sophisticated little unit. And for those of you that really want Wi-Fi in the hotel when, you know, you plug the – I know there's a lot of times I'm in a hotel and I maybe forgot my 10-base T line and I don't want to be tied to the desk. I just want to lay in the bed and do work or something. And this is the way you can do that, this little travel router, plug it into the network there. And not only that, you can provide Wi-Fi for all the people in your party, especially if they're in adjoining rooms, etc. You know, and only pay that $14.95 fee one time. Now you're on to it. So what I've actually done in the past is took a router with me with Wi-Fi capability. So when I'm with a group of people, and we have to pay for service, you know, I plug the router into the broadband, one person pays for the charge for the room, and then we just all gang on that same broadband connection, and, you know, you don't have to each of us shell out $12 or $13 a night for the access, and it's worked out well, especially if you're there for a long time. You just share it all in the end, and it ends up being pretty cheap. Okay, there's an article over on O'Reilly's developer weblog that I think you all should read. And it's basically stated, you simply can't steal Wi-Fi. Now, we talked about just a minute ago about using Wi-Fi, you know, basically us, a bunch of us hooking up and sharing a internet connection in a hotel by having our own Wi-Fi router. Well, this talks about sitting outside someone's house and hooking up to their Wi-Fi signal and basically getting service through unsecure Wi-Fi connection. Now, recently someone was arrested for basically doing that. Now, there may have been some extenuating circumstances there where the guy hacked the password or something like that, but it's curious that the police are trying to or did arrest someone here for doing that, considering that a wireless signal is just that, a signal that's out in the air, and if it's unsecure, you know, it basically is kind of like fair game for most people. So I guess we'll see what happens in this, see if this continues to be an issue, if more people become entangled with law enforcement. But my suggestion to you is if you have a Wi-Fi device in your house, that you secure that down so that no one will be using your access, you know, without your knowledge. And the reason for that is, who knows what they're doing with that signal or what they're downloading through your internet connection. So that's the thing that you need to pay attention to. Okay, in space news, they're saying that a study has found that Mars has been cold for more than 4 billion years. And they did a This is through analysis of meteorites on Mars, and it's basically led science to conclude that the planet has been too cold to support liquid water for the last 4 billion years. But you know what's unique? I saw a picture on a NASA website the other day that actually showed a crater that was at one of the poles where they actually showed ice. So is that ice going to last 4 billion years? Who knows? But now that's what they've concluded. So, yeah, Mars has been cold for a long time. Okay, folks, that's all I got for you tonight. I want to thank you for tuning in to the Geek News Central podcast. Send your promos to geeknewspromo@gmail.com. You can email me at geeknews@gmail.com. You can Skype me at Geek News Central, or you can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365. I've got two things for you tonight. I've got the intro that I did not play on the last show. This is going to be intro number 6. And then I've got a song from a group called the Reverse Engineers. They have three songs on the PodSafe Music Network. The one that I like is called Mercury and Retrograde. We'll get those. I'll play that for you. And we'll wrap up the content for tonight. As always, hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for staying subscribed. Help us find content, okay? Because the content's been awful thin lately on the net because of being summer months and everyone on vacation. You can send me some links, and we'll cover it in the next show and follow-on shows. But from now, I guess I'm going to cue this intro up, and then we will see you on Friday. Aloha.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Geek News Central podcast is now on the air, live from the Geek News Central World Headquarters in beautiful Honolulu, Hawaii. Please welcome your favorite geek, Todd the Geek, from the Geek News Central Anchor Desk.
Thanks for that intro submission. That'll be intro submission number 6. And here is the Reverse Engineer, Mercury in Retrograde. thanks, folks. It's really late here, and get this in the can and up on the internet. We'll see you on Friday. Bye-bye.